You are an evolutionary empath. The world needs your gifts. Hello, sensitive souls, and welcome to the final episode of my Evolutionary Empath podcast. I'm Stephanie Redfeather, author of the recently released book, The Evolutionary Empath, A Practical Guide for Heart-Centered Consciousness, which hit number one on Amazon US, UK, Australia, and Canada. Thank you so much for your support in making this happen. You can pick up a copy of The Evolutionary Empath through your favorite bookseller, in stores, and online, and the audiobook will be coming out in January. Find out more about The Evolutionary Empath on my website, bluestartemple.org, and be sure to download your free copy of my Evolutionary Empath Activation Manual. While you're there, check out my other offerings as well, such as The Art and Practice of Energetic Clearing, which is a video home study program. You can check out my guided meditations and my brand new Embodiment How-To Manual and Workbook. So in last week's self-care tip, I invited you to get more sleep. In the Western world, we are chronically overstressed and underrested, and many even wear their exhaustion like a badge of honor. As empaths, we need to change this culture. So how did your get more sleep experiment go? Did you choose to get more sleep each night, or did you give yourself one day to sleep in? Did you go to bed earlier? How do you feel? And what did you notice that is different when you get more sleep? I know for me that when I don't get enough sleep, I get cranky easier, I get stressed more quickly, and I run out of brain power sooner. And as I mentioned last week, I get at least 9 hours of sleep every night. And while that might be quite a leap for some of you, I encourage you to make a commitment to yourself to hold your sleep as sacred and change your sleeping habits to support you more fully. For the final self-care tip of the series, be sure to tune in at the end of the podcast. Last week, I introduced you to tools and mindsets for staying in your center and reclaiming your sense of self. If you've been listening to the whole series, you should have a good understanding by now of what an empath is, as well as some tools, mindsets, and practices for helping you thrive as a sensitive soul. In today's final episode, I want to help point the way forward. This includes an examination of our definition of what it means to be of service, dispelling the myth that service equals sacrifice, and making a difference where you are. So let's dive in. In my book, The Evolutionary Empath, I say this, quote, "The straight and narrow path has led us astray. Certainly, there are abbreviated times in our life when circumstances ask us to buckle down, make a few sacrifices, put others' needs before our own, and get it done. But this isn't meant to be a life philosophy. The patriarchal promise of work hard and get your reward in the end just doesn't play out with any amount of sustainability. And the old subservient feminine duty isn't so much about service to others as it is about sacrifice of self. There seem to be a multitude of false assumptions circulating in our societal code of conduct as though they were gospel," unquote. So what kinds of false assumptions am I talking about? Here are some examples. The harder you work, i.e. the more hours you put in, the more you are admired and the farther you will get in life and business. The more you sacrifice, give of yourself, and put others first, the more it means you care. Another one is, you cannot get ahead or prosper unless you make great sacrifices. So the subtext being that it's okay to ignore your family, suppress your emotions and pain, and collect a few health problems because, well, it was worth it, right? Another example is, life is a trade-off. You can be rich, or you can have balance, but not both, implying that they are mutually exclusive. And I'm sure there's others that you have encountered over your lifetime as well. Now, if you recall the five qualities of an empath from podcast episode 2, the fifth quality is our big open hearts and a desire to serve others, So as empaths, we're already predisposed toward caring for others, putting other people's needs before our own, being people pleasers, and putting ourselves last on the list. So add to that the societal programming of sacrifice that I was just talking about, which I know shows up a little bit differently for each gender, and that makes for a lot of resentful, discontented people with health, relationship, career, and financial problems who think they are doing exactly what is expected of them by parents, their church, or society. And not just what is expected, but what they were told makes them a good person. There are 1,000 different ways to be a good person in the world, but being a good person shouldn't be about serving others to the detriment of your own well-being. If you look closer and investigate the origins of all the messages of sacrifice and other-centeredness that are so pervasive in our culture, you will almost certainly find denial of self as the central axiom. In order for us to be way-showers, to help anchor heart-centered consciousness on the planet, we will need a new definition of service. And we need to be up to the task physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. We can't do that if we are constantly depleted. So what might this new definition of service look like? Well, first, it means recognizing that our needs are just as important as another's. Not more, not less, but equally significant. In a new definition of service, we will need to be fully present in each moment, listening to and expressing our own truth. A new definition of service will have at its foundation a value system that cherishes and promotes self-care. I have a Rumi quote hanging on my bulletin board that says, "Never give from the depth of your well, but from your overflow." How many times in your life have you given from the depth of your well? Quoting again from my book, this fresh relationship to service doesn't mean we are to live a self-absorbed, self-serving life immune to the plight of others. Balance means weighing your needs against the needs of others in each and every circumstance. There is no one convenient decision you can make and apply to every scenario indiscriminately. Each time you are called upon to serve another, you must make your own choice based on your truth in that moment. And what your truth is today may not be your truth tomorrow. It is a more painstaking and time-consuming practice because you have to show up in your body, be present, assess your state, tell yourself the truth, be vulnerable, and then risk how your answer will land for the other. But it is a more authentic way of being of service that honors the giver, unquote. Folks, the old paradigm definition of service, where service equals sacrifice or denial of self, is actually easier because it requires practically no conscious engagement. You just set the dial on self-denial and defer to everyone else's needs, and you're set. No more thinking. Being of service in a heart-centered, conscious world will require us to show up and do our inner work and have an opinion and make occasional hard choices. In the new paradigm of service, decisions are made in the light of consciousness and with consideration for all involved. And when this dynamic exists, we will no longer make decisions that continually reinforce poor health, exhaustion, financial overcommitment, resentment, and self-denial. In my book, I explore the concept of service through several prominent archetypes, including the monk/nun, the martyr, the knight and warrior, and the servant/slave. I want to highlight the archetype of the servant/slave now to dive a little more deeply into how this archetype plays out in our collective psyche. There are many ways in which the archetype of servant has manifested throughout time: public servants, clergy, househelp, social workers, but the shadow servants in all of these fail to also be of service to themselves and lose all focus on the value of their own lives. The altruistic mission of the servant is to be available to others for the benefit and enhancement of their lives. But how much service are you able to render when there is nothing left to give? How much can your heart really be in what you are doing when underneath it boils with exhaustion and resentment and frustration? At what point does service become mechanical? Because a servant without a you inside is just a robot. The shadow aspect of the slave archetype lacks the power of choice and self-authority. Slaves follow orders that violate their own integrity. I have a personal story I can share about that. For years, I said yes to things I didn't want to say yes to, said no to things I really wanted to say yes to, and pretended it was all okay. I honestly didn't know how to identify what I really wanted. I was so removed from my core and had so few boundaries that I didn't recognize that I was violating my own integrity. Instead, I listened to the influence of what I thought others wanted me to do or what I thought I had to do to be accepted, promoted, valued, loved. I had no concept of my own authority. How could I? I gave all my authority away for love. I had to get pushed really hard with my back up against the wall before I would ever consider pushing back. Oh, I talked a good game, but I was a pushover. And I swallowed enough anger to power Los Angeles. It was years before I could recognize that I was angry, when I was angry. So oftentimes my anger would fester and seethe for weeks or months. And then something innocuous would happen, like stubbing my toe, and I would have an all-out cussing, screaming, hissy fit on the floor. So clearly the reaction did not fit the incident. I was so used to violating my own integrity that I couldn't recognize when it was happening in the moment. And my anger would finally come out a number of months later. It was maddening because that far removed from the original incident, it was difficult to trace the source of my anger. And so after running this pattern time after time for years and years, what I realized was even harder to swallow. And that is the fact that I was actually mad at myself. It was easy to throw my anger at anyone or anything that gave me an excuse to showcase those emotions and even sound righteous. It was really hard to admit that I was angry at myself for violating my own boundaries. So this idea of the servant or slave archetype really shows up in our lives, sometimes in ways that are not easy to identify. And so if we are to be of service to ourselves and to humankind, then service must shift its position on the arc of the pendulum. Instead of swinging to the extreme, it needs to hang steady in the balance between service to self and service to others. And so now I want to shift the focus of our conversation to embracing your mission as an evolutionary empath. Way back in the beginning of the podcast series, I talked about how empaths have a cosmic mission of helping humanity ascend to the next level of consciousness, that we are here on purpose, that we're not random. And I talked about the empathic Big Bang, so that if you think of time in a geologic sense, 100 or a couple hundred years is the blink of an eye. So all of us who are here on the planet as sensitive souls and the ones that came before us, collectively, we are the empathic Big Bang. And I keep referencing this quote from the movie Moneyball that says, "The first guy through the wall always gets bloodied." But it's true. Collectively, as the empathic Big Bang, we chose to incarnate on Earth at this point in human evolution, get ourselves bloodied, if you will, breaking through that wall and setting the stage and clearing the path for the ones coming behind us. Now, I understand that for some of you, this statement can carry a lot of weight, a lot of responsibility. It might seem intimidating. I actually had a comment about my book that said, "While this is a great book, this seems like a lot of responsibility." And I so get that. The idea of having a cosmic mission might create some questions inside of you or resistance. However you feel about it is so okay. And I admit that I can tend to be too serious and intense. And if I let myself, this cosmic mission could feel like a lot of responsibility, like this big, heavy, onerous mantle draped across my shoulders, you know, like dragging the ball and chain. And I want to be clear that that is not at all what I am implying when I encourage you to step into this cosmic purpose. And so I want to make this very important point. Be who you are wherever you are. I'll say that again. Be who you are wherever you are. And what this means is, yes, you chose to incarnate on this planet at this specific point in human evolution. And please don't underestimate the significance of your contribution to the cosmos. But it doesn't mean that you have to twist yourself into something unnatural. It doesn't mean you all of a sudden have to find a way to be on a bigger stage or run for office or start a nonprofit organization or launch some kind of campaign or be a political activist. It doesn't mean you have to change your dreams. And it certainly doesn't mean that what you are doing now is inadequate. Hear me when I say this. No matter how grandiose or modest your life is, you are making a difference. Stepping into your cosmic mission doesn't mean you have to do anything different. It's really about your consciousness. So start from wherever you are. It is your consciousness about the matter that matters. And I'm dinging for emphasis. I'll say it again. It is your consciousness about the matter that matters. The outer trappings, your job, the house you live in, your social circles, the city you live in, don't have to change for you to embrace your deeper purpose. And those outer trappings don't decide the extent of your contribution to the planet. Doingness comes first from beingness. I know I have a lot of these today, right? But these statements are so important, especially moving forward. Doingness comes first from beingness. So be you in your relationships. Be you at the grocery store and gas station. Be you at the movie theater and at parties. Be you at home alone and in a crowd of people. Be you with the kids and with strangers. Don't undervalue the difference you can make by, quote, just being your authentic self. You are here to help raise the collective vibration of humanity and the planet. And your conscious awareness, that's the key, conscious awareness holds a vibratory field that invites others to join in. And this frequency is magnified by every other person moving into higher consciousness. So collectively, we are making a difference. And as one person, you can make this kind of difference. Your contribution matters. Moving forward as a conscious empath is a journey and not a destination. All of these tools and mindsets, perspectives, and practices that I have shared with you throughout this podcast can be developed, can be added to. You are a dynamic being, and so what works for you now may not work in the future, but you have the tools now. You have the understanding. You have the perspective to be able to take these tools, apply them, and thrive in your life as an empath. We need embodied, excited, enthusiastic empaths standing in their power, being who they are, and contributing their unique brilliance and sensitivity to the planet. And I want you standing next to me, arm in arm, as we march forward in our collective journey of consciousness and evolution. Okay, my empathic friends, it's time for the final self-care tip. To go with today's theme, your self-care practice is fill your well. Remember the Rumi quote? Never give from the depths of your well, but from your overflow. So what fills your well? Remember back to the last podcast when I gave you the practice of asking, does this feed me or does this drain me? Well, what feeds you? Whatever way of phrasing this gives you the greatest access to clarity, use it. So, what fills your well? What feeds you? What makes you happy? What fills your tank? What gives you energy? By shifting your personal paradigm of service, you can begin to give from a place of overflow where your cup will always runneth over. And please know that no matter when you end up tuning into this podcast, whether it's the day it airs or 2 years from now, you are always welcome to contact me with questions or to share your experiences. Okay, my fellow sensitives, thank you so much for listening today and for taking this 12-part journey with me. I want you to know that you are here for a reason and your presence matters. There is no one like you. You are a gift, and the world needs your unique expression. I'm Stephanie Redfeather, and if you want to find out more about me, my book, The Evolutionary Empath, or my other products and services, please go to my website at bluestartemple.org. You can also find me on LinkedIn and Facebook. If you like this podcast, don't forget to like and subscribe to the Sacred Stories podcast. Remember, my fellow sensitive souls, you are an evolutionary empath. The world needs your gifts.